I want you this morning to just take a moment, and I want you to think back when you were a little boy or a little girl, okay? Can you do that with me? Do you remember what it was like when you were waiting for Christmas? Do you remember when you asked for that special toy or that special doll? Do you remember how excited you were? It seemed like even though Christmas may have been only a few weeks away, you could not wait for Christmas to get here because it seemed like a year away. And then the tree went up. And then a gift or two would begin to appear underneath the tree. Remember? And then when mom and dad weren't home, you'd go and you'd grab that gift and you'd shake it because you thought you knew what it was that you were getting. And then the day arrived. The day that you had waited for when you get to open all of your gifts under the tree. Do you remember that excitement? Well, the two spies had just returned from a very important trip that Joshua had given them. You see, Joshua, their leader, had told them, I want you to go into the land and I want you to spy it out, and I specifically want you to look at the city of Jericho. The spies have now come back. And with the help of Rahab, they were able to escape being noticed. But now they stand before Joshua, and ladies and gentlemen, they are bursting with joy. You want to know why? Let's find out. The Lord has given us the whole land, they said, for all the people in the land are terrified of us. This is the report that Joshua had been waiting for more than 40 years. And so immediately the Bible tells us that Joshua dispatches his runners to go throughout all of the camp to tell them this word. At sunrise, we're leaving. Pack up the camp. We are moving towards the Jordan River. Now, I want you to know at this time, the estimation of the children of Israel is probably 2 to 3 million people. Can you imagine the excitement that they are feeling now? They've been in the wilderness, they've been in the desert, and now they break camp and they are making their way towards the bank of the Jordan River. And you know they know what's on the other side, the promised land. Now, as they're traveling, when they get about 5 miles out, something happens to them. They hear a noise that they have not heard before. But the closer they get, the more they recognize what it is. It's the Jordan River. And as the people move step by step closer to the banks of the Jordan, they experience something that they got from their parents. It's called fear. And the closer they get to the Jordan, this fear becomes a little bit more evident in their lives. However, when they get to the bluffs that overlook the Jordan, somebody points, there it is, the promised land. Can you imagine the excitement of the people? It seemed like an eternity before they could get there. And now they stand on the banks of the promised land that was promised to them many, many years ago. Stand with me out of respect for God's word as I read from Joshua chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, I see it, the promised land. Help me not to focus on the obstacle, but the presence. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it amazing how God has brought us to this reading and this study in Joshua? Because I don't know about you, but I see my life individually and also the life of the church just begin to open up before us. I really believe that as I'm reading the pages of Scripture, I'm looking at what God is doing in our lives. And I know some of you are wondering the same thing. I want you to know that I believe that there are some of you who are at the banks of the Jordan River and you can see your promised land. But I don't know what that promised land is for you. Maybe it's a new relationship. Maybe it's an old relationship that God is going to make brand new. Maybe it's some type of obstacle that you've been working through your entire life and you just felt and know that God has something for you. And as a church, I believe that God has us on the banks of the Jordan River. We can see the promised land because he's on the verge of doing something through us that we will never forget. Now, the Bible tells us that the people are standing on the very banks of the river where their ancestors stood just 40 years prior when they blew it. I have a feeling that the attitude that is seeping through all of the people is this. This time we will obey. But I want you to notice something. The people notice something that is very unusual. You know what they notice? The Jordan River. You see, what's unusual about this is that the Jordan River is at flood stage right now. That may not mean a whole lot to you, but just remember, there's 2 to 3 million people standing on the banks, getting ready to cross over to their promised land that they know that God had promised to them. But there's a problem. This Jordan River now is over a mile wide. The depths of the Jordan River now range from 3 feet to 12 feet deep. The river is flowing downstream, which means historians tell us that the river would reach up to 40 miles per hour. Now you know where the roar came from. But that's not the worst part. You know what the worst part is? The worst part is what lies beneath the Jordan River. All of the tangled web of vegetation that grows in a floodplain. And this is now where the people stand. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah calls this a jungle. Now, my friends, we see the promised land. We know it's up ahead. But there's a Jordan River that lies between us and the promise of God. And so my question for you this morning is simply this. What's your Jordan River? What's that obstacle that seems to be growing larger and larger before you, even though you see the promised land just on the other side? You know, we talk about the abundant life, don't we? We talk about living the abundant life, of living the well-lived life. And yet, our problem is we either have a difficult time of letting go of our wilderness, or we're afraid of the obstacle that stands before us. And my friends, we have a decision to make. And the decision is this: will we walk by faith, or will we walk by sight? Look at this verse in the Bible. He replied, "What is impossible for people is possible with God." Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Let's read that together, okay? He replied, "What is impossible for people is possible with God." Here's what I want you to know. Whatever it is that you may be facing right now in your life, no matter how difficult or how large, no matter how big that obstacle or that giant is in your life, remember that with God, nothing is impossible. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. As a church, as individuals, I want us to realize that as we stand on the banks of a God-sized future, we're going to take a moment and we're going to look at the obstacle, but we're going to focus on the God who gets us from being stuck to victory. And we're going to learn from what God told the people in the Bible about how we're supposed to do it. And here's the first thing: follow the movements of God. When you have an obstacle before you, when you have this giant that looms before you and you know where you're supposed to go, God's promised it to you, you want to claim it, but there's this huge obstacle and you want to know what you're supposed to do, the very first thing you do is you simply follow the movements of God. Let's pick it up in the story here. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. "When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer." All right, now here's something that I just want to ask you. What's the big deal about this Ark of the Covenant? I mean, why does God put so much emphasis and focus on a piece of furniture? Well, let's look at maybe what it looked like, okay? Now, I want to leave this picture up there, and I want you to think about what I'm about to say. Maybe it wasn't the Ark of the Covenant that was so important. Maybe it was what was in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, think about this. You know what was in the Ark? The Ten Commandments. The tablets of stone where the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments. What did that represent? You know what it represented? It represented God's desire to be in relationship with his people. God gave these commandments so that we could be in relationship with him. Or maybe it wasn't the Ten Commandments. Maybe it wasn't the stone tablets. Maybe it was the manna. There was manna that was inside of the Ark of the Covenant. And the manna was symbolized the provision of God for all of his people, these millions of people, for 40 years. So first we have the tablets, the desire for God to be in relationship with us, and then we have the manna, God's provision. I want to grab something out of the scriptures here just quickly that I think is one of the most incredible miracles of everything, of all, as the children of Israel went through the desert for 40 years. It's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 5. Listen to this. For 40 years, I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out. Is that not amazing? For 40 years, their shoes and their clothes did not wear out. That's the provision of our God. But maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was the third thing that was in the ark. Remember what it was? It was Aaron's staff, a stick, a dead stick. And yet, this dead stick grew leaves and almonds. What does God mean by that? He means this. God can and will use anything to accomplish his will. Maybe it's one of those three things that the reason why God's so big on this Ark of the Covenant, but I have a feeling that it may be something else. You see, at the very top, you see what is called the cherubim. That's called the mercy seat. It was made of gold. You know who sat on that mercy seat? God himself. That symbolized the presence of Almighty God. Now, here's what I want us to learn from this. The Bible tells us that God said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant move, follow it. So the very first thing that we need to learn in grabbing a hold of what God has promised for us is this. We have to follow his lead, we have to pursue his presence, and then we have to come after him. That's what it means when we follow God. We have to follow his lead, pursue his presence, and come after him. All right, I want to look at those three individual statements for a moment. The first one is we have to follow his lead. What does that mean? Here's the best way that I can make it for you to understand. One of the things that sometimes that we used to do when we were younger, we used to play follow the leader. Ever played it? We get four or five people together, and if I was the leader, then I would begin leading them. What's the first thing everybody did? They got in line. That's what God is telling us here. When we follow God, the very first thing we have to do is we have to get in line. Why is it so important that we get in line? Listen very carefully so we mimic what's happening right before us. God is moving. God is all powerful. And as he moves, we must get in line behind him and mimic everything he does. And here's the second thing it says, pursue his presence. One of the things that my grandkids and I like to do is we'll play hide and go seek, and we really like to scare each other. But here's what happens. We'll go hide, and then we'll count to 10, okay? But here's the funny part of it. As Harper and Landon are hiding, they can never keep quiet. I get to 10, and I'll hear, "Oh, Bob, where are you?" It's easy to find them. Here's what I want you to understand about this. That's how it is with God. There are mysteries of God that are hidden. Now listen carefully. They're not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. You see, when we pursue God, it's just like playing hide and seek with my grandkids. It's not the goal of God not to be found. It's his goal that we find him. So every once in a while, when we get a little off track or we get a little tired, we'll hear, "I'm over here." You see, that's what God wants for us as we pursue him. As we pursue him, guess what? He's going to let us know where he is. All we have to do is not give up. And then the last one is simply to come after him. Well, what does it mean, Pastor Bob, to come after him? It just means that you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself and you have to come after him. You have to give up your old sinful way of life and you have to receive the gift of new life. But you deny your cross and you follow him. That's what God is telling us. Now, there's one other interesting moment or fact about this, and that is this, that whenever the Ark of the Covenant was set up, they always had to stay back 3,000 feet or 1,000 yards. And a lot of people think that the reason that God had them do that was so that everybody could see him. Everyone had the opportunity to keep their eyes on him. So the first thing we have to do is we have to follow his movements. Here's the second thing that we need to do. We need to consecrate ourselves. Look at what it says here. Then Joshua told the people, "Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." You know what I want to do is I want to focus on the tomorrow the Lord is going to do great wonders about me. But you know what the Bible says first you have to do? You have to consecrate yourself. What does it mean to consecrate? Here's what it means. It means to prepare. It means to set apart. It means to dedicate. It means to be holy. If you're going to do something with God, you have to first set yourself apart to God. I'm going to say that again. If you're going to do something with God, you must first set yourself apart to God. And I know the question you're asking is, how do you do that? Thank you for asking. Here's how. Personal repentance. My friends, sin builds walls. Sin creates barriers between you and God. And when you consecrate yourself, you confess your sin to God. Well, what if I don't know what sins I'm supposed to confess? Ask him. He'll be more than happy to show you what it is. Confess those sins, own those sins, but devote yourself to God. Look at this. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Did you see that? That's the word of God. Those walls, those barriers that are built up from your sin will keep God from hearing your prayer. And the way you break them down is through personal repentance. And remember this, the sin of one person can bring down a whole nation. Remember Achan? So what do? You confess your sins to God and you devote yourself to him. Oh, look at this. Spiritual discipline helps you see God at work. Spiritual discipline helps you see God at work. Here's what it means. When you take the physical sacrifices in your life and you apply those to your life, it allows you to see and focus on God more clearly. You see, here's what God told the people. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to wash yourself. You see, in those days, they couldn't bathe every day. They didn't have enough water. So you wash yourself. Only this time they bathe themselves. They got themselves ready. Why? Because God was about to do something great. So let's go through that again. Remember, follow his movements, consecrate himself, and here's the third one. Step out and stand still. Step out and stand still. Here's what the Bible says. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream. and the river will stand up like a wall. My friends, the way we demonstrate our faith, God says, is we got to get our feet wet. You have to get your feet wet. When God gives you what it is that he wants you to do, he requires your total obedience. And even though you may not understand, even though not everything may be clear to you, God simply says, you can trust me. We want to have our eyes in the right place. We want to have our hearts in the right place. That's vital. But unless we move our feet, God will never open the door that will lead us to what he has for us. And so God told the people, the children of Israel, he said, I want you to stand in the water, leaders, and then I want you to stand still. Now, what did he mean when he said stand still? What did he mean by that? This is what he meant. My child, you've done everything I've asked you to do. And now you just stand there. And you watch what I'm about to do. Can you imagine all of the people on the very banks of the river hearing the roar of this mighty water and then seeing the leaders walk out into the water? And can you imagine that first step? And then the people began to look down. And as the priests were in the water, standing still, what happened? The water began to recede, and it began to move farther and farther. And then it began to move farther and farther upstream. But then the water that was flowing downstream began to disappear farther and farther, all the way to the Dead Sea. Can you imagine the joy of the people? They had done what God had asked them to do, followed him to the T. They consecrated themselves. They stood in faith. They stepped in faith, moved in faith. And now God says, watch what I'm doing. And he blew their socks off. And my friends, that same God is the God that we worship in this church. And that same God is waiting to do something great before us. We've come to the banks of the water. All we have to do is follow him by keeping our eyes on him. We consecrate ourselves. We get ourselves ready. We take the step of faith, and then we watch and see what he's going to do. And I'll tell you right now in my life, this is what I'm doing. I'm looking because I expect to see something. And that's the way God wants us to live our lives. Do you know that what God did among these people was so great, they wrote a song about it? Did you know that? It's recorded for us in the Psalms. The Red Sea saw them coming and hurried out of their way. The water of the Jordan River turned away. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What's wrong, Red Sea, that made you hurry out of their way? What happened, Jordan River, that you turned away? Why, mountains, did you skip like rams? Why, hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. That's the song that they sang from one generation to another after that. But you know what was even better? As the people now made their way across the Jordan River, the Bible tells us that there was a city by the name of Jericho who was watching. And the Bible says they were trembling in fear. The work of God completing his promise had begun. So where are you this morning? What is it that you've been waiting on God for such a long time? What is the obstacle that you see in front of you that God just wants to sneeze and blow out of the way? Maybe it's a marriage relationship. Maybe you've prayed and you've asked God, God, I want a marriage that pleases you. I want to be that husband. I want to be that wife, but I just don't see it happening. My friend, then follow the Lord. Consecrate yourself. Take a step of faith. You'll know what he wants you to do, and watch God work. Maybe you're grieving. Maybe you've lost someone very, very close to you. Maybe your heart breaks. And sometimes you wonder how you're even going to take the next breath. I want you to know that God is with you. And as you follow his lead, as you consecrate yourself to him and praise and worship him, even in the difficult times, you can take that next step and watch God work and feel the flood of peace that comes over you, that peace that goes beyond all understanding. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a job issue. I don't know what it is, but there is no obstacle that God won't overcome. So here we are as a church. We're standing on the banks of the Jordan River. What are we going to do? I don't know about you, but I'm going to go get my feet wet. I'm going to go get my feet wet. Because God is sovereign. He's true to his promises, and he loves his people. Who's coming with me? Who's coming with me?